Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
And here we are again, the White Riot Show, brought to you live by us, the White Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
Oh, he's back. Judo Larry M. back from his adventures, which we'll get to in a second. Judo Larry M., how are you feeling tonight?
I'm so great, grateful to be back with you. Vegas was good to me.
Oh, so you're letting the cat out of the bag, Vegas?
Yes, I was out at the Venetian. It was a combination job protecting some rich guy, and then while I was out there, I took advantage of some of the strip joints on the, on what they call.
Let's be honest. Was there really a client, or did you just get that like Spock-like urge once every 7 years to go
the AMOC time? Use my cock. Yes, the client was my penis.
So you had to go bust a nut, basically, in Vegas.
That is basically it, and that's where one goes to do such things, even when it's 108 degrees on the strip.
Oh, that's how hot it was.
Yeah, awful.
Awful, but good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, as long as you have a happy ending, who cares?
Yeah, you managed to find some ladies. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You go to those strip joints, forget it, man. On the, what do they call it, the Industrial Road or whatever?
Yeah, whatever that one is.
Yeah. They're like all in a row.
Yeah. And that one time you and I went there, we ran into that, this weird alleged strip joint that was just like this little, almost little house on the prairie on a road in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I remember that we thought it was one of those like Elvis marrying place. Like, you
that's
know,
right, right. Like little chapel or whatever.
Yeah, and we walked in and like somebody, like some chick wearing like practically nothing went like, "Hi guys." And I was like, well, this obviously has nothing to do with the king.
Until, of course, we got close enough and we saw that she weighed more than a metric ton, probably. Not one of the better establishments in Las Vegas. But you had a good time. You busted a nut. You got some broads. How'd it go?
I busted a couple of nuts, and I'm ready to go. And I just lying around the pool and taking it easy. I'm sorry I missed last week to our loyal rioters out there, but we're ready to go.
All right. So the White Riot Show. Let me just give out all the plugs before we get started on this week's events. White Riot Show. Go to Twitter.com, which is blowing up. Judo Larry M. Over 10,000 loyal White Riot listeners. Also, we've been needling some of the political candidates on the White Riot feed. You could go check that out. Twitter.com/White Riot Show, all one word. We've been giving it to Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, and various other ne'er-do-wells, not just on the political scale, also having some fun at other people's expense. We got into it a little bit with Kevin Smith on Twitter, all in good fun, of course. Going a little back and forth with the Washington Times conservative bloggers, because, yeah, we may be conservative or libertarian, Judo Larry M., but we can call out our own side when it comes to some stupid things they may do.
Yes, indeed. In fact, I had another irritating moment last week. I remember while I was out in Vegas, I saw briefly on the news, they had another one of those rulings on eminent domain.
Oh, yeah,
and
what happened?
I told you a few years ago, that is the most incredibly awful decisions. It drives me nuts. You have the government just grabbing land.
Right.
They can throw people out of property.
Sure.
And, like, you know, the people are, what can you do? I mean, there's nothing you can do. You're not getting compensated. They just...
Well, no, they have to compensate you what they think is fair value, but half the time they just give you something that, you know, most judges they'll just sign off on.
But
bullshit.
But compensation for people isn't just you're getting your money out of your house. John,
I agree.
If you live there, do you really want to be thrown out? Even if they gave you twice the value, do you want to be kicked out by the government?
No, man, I'm with you. The government shouldn't grab anything that belongs to the private sector. I'm for you on that. I agree with you. But I didn't want you to make the folks think that eminent domain is they just grab your shit without giving you a nickel. They pay you, but to your point, it doesn't compensate like for emotional distress or anything like that.
I should have been clearer with my definition of compensation.
Make sure you do that.
Yes.
But anyway, White Riot Show, we're here. Go on Twitter.com/White Riot Show. Go to Facebook.com/White Riot Show. You could always go to our website, WhiteRiotShow.com. And of course, subscribe on iTunes. Go to the iTunes podcast and just search for White Riot Show. It will pop up on that. And, of course, the big news this week, we were featured on Stitcher.com. Stitcher Radio, Judo Lariam, one of the hot new five podcasts featured on Stitcher.com. So we want to thank the folks at Stitcher.com. Go to Stitcher.com, Stitcher Radio, search for White Riot Show there, and you'll be able to subscribe. And what's the good thing about that, Judo Lariam? People can listen to us on their smartphones, on their Androids, their iPhones, their Blackberries. They can listen to us on their computer. Blowing up. White Riot Show cannot be stopped, Judo Lariam. The riot is everywhere. We're all rioting here on the White Riot Show. And as usual, when this happens, we got to bring in Judo Lariam back from busting a nut in Vegas, as you just heard. He's going to give us the notes of the week.
Okay, so we're going to start off with a big shout-out to Ohio. I don't know what's going on in these
parts
of the country. An Ohio woman has been panhandling in her bikini on the streets of Akron.
Now, is that code for, like, she was playing with herself in a bikini panhandling?
It means that if she rubs one out, that the police will actually think about arresting her.
All right.
But she's been sitting on the streets of Akron with a sign saying, "I'm not homeless, I need boobs."
So, boobs, not booze, boobs.
Boobs, as in tits.
She didn't have any?
Chrissy Lance, 37 years old, says she's begging for enough money to finance her boob job in order to enhance her self-esteem.
We could say tit job.
Well, it's called tittage. But she wants to get the boobs the size of, like, basketballs.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, Big Fat John loves himself some boobs on a woman.
Yeah, but
the best part
about it is if you have to. Oh, really? I thought you were more of an ass man.
I'm an ass man. No, despite my Greek heritage, I am quite a titty man. You know my wife. She's quite the titty girl, not the ass chick.
I don't check out my friend's wives, so I have no idea.
Oh, fair enough then.
But Chrissy Lance, you're okay with me, because when I think about it, when I think all the people begging for money,
word,
and some of them who aren't even destitute.
Yeah.
I mean, they've like the Post and some of the local papers, they've had articles on some of these kids. They got cell phones. They got a whole network. They just don't want to be part of society.
Right.
There's like all these annoying anti-capitalist assholes out there. So here's a woman who's out there saying, look, I want to have big tits. And then I think the honesty of that, I love it. It's like the guys who have signs that say, why should I lie? I want a beer.
Right. At some point, you appreciate the honesty. But seriously, she's just out panhandling for tits, huh?
Yeah, she's out there just begging people, giving her quarters, nickels, until it adds up, and she's going to panhandle. Now,
is this because she has some sort of morality and doesn't want to give head for money? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, they don't do that in Akron. That's where
actually,
LeBron
Akron,
James is.
I could be wrong, but I think Ohio might be one of the gay capitals of the U.S. on the D-Lo, though.
Really?
That's what I heard. Yeah, back in the day when I was still in the investment banking business, we had a branch. I won't say which bank, of course, but we had a branch out in Ohio. Not a branch, you know, like a corporate office out in Ohio. And the folks there, when I used to visit to check up on some stuff, the folks there used to tell me that Ohio really is a cruising mecca. Or it was a couple of years ago. I don't know if it's case. I'm sorry if people in Ohio, if I'm defaming you. I don't intend to. This is just something I heard. Not that being gay is anything wrong with that, right, Judo Lariam?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Look at the two of us. No, but I think what's being missed here is that Ohio is the home of the Browns and the Bengals. So what the fuck do they know?
Absolutely nothing. Huh. No, but seriously, so... So good for her. She's not out giving head or bending over. She's just literally just saying,
just begging,
contribute to the tit fund.
That's it.
And big titties. You know, I've told you this. I don't care if they wheel them in on separate, like, gurneys. I love me some big tits on a woman. Big enough, like, basketball size. And the smaller the waist on the chick, the better. I believe
you,
in those Barbie proportions.
Do you like chicks who have just naturally big boobs or ones that have implants?
It makes no difference to me.
See, because I know this now from like my 20th trip out to Vegas.
Oh.
The thing with fake boobs, which is not so great, is they have that like torpedo look.
The good boob jobs. The good boob jobs come out nice.
Yeah, but how many have really good boob jobs? A lot of them just have these generic tittage looks. I mean,
Yeah.
No, but if you've ever been to like the beach and you see like women lying on their back in the sand, and the ones who have the boob jobs, you know, they don't fall to the sides naturally.
That's the easy way. So even the best boob job, you're absolutely right. That's how you tell, right? If they lay down, naturally they fall tied.
But I have to tell you, I just, maybe I'm really old school. I just like natural sitting boobs, you know, just the look of them, everything. You know, the fake ones are They're fake.
Yeah, I know. I hear you, but I'm not that discriminating, to be honest with you. I like tonnage. I like that when
you're like Chrissy Lance from Akron.
Yeah, when the broad is on top of you and she's just got like in like your nose is in that cleavage, but the titties are so big that your nose can't reach the breastplate.
Do you do the motorboat?
Oh, that's awesome. And then, like, you're trying to tune in Tokyo on the nipples, and you got your nose in there, and it's kind of big. And, like, if you go, it kind of just, like, reverberates
in your ears. And that's awesome.
What's even better than that? Seriously, other than anal. you know, look, I'm not discriminatory. You know,
well,
you could go either end.
Since you asked what's better is working my taint. Because that's just my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, is that it?
Oh, yeah. That
better than head?
Me.
Better than head?
It's better than anything. It's better than anything. The only thing better than that is like winning the Powerball.
let me ask you something. Do you like the prostate massage, the finger up the ass while you're getting the head or the taint?
Who told you about that? Blumpkin boy, be quiet.
Yeah, I was a biologist once. No, but seriously, do you like that? I'm a little put off by that. I don't know that
I actually don't like people working my ass too much. I don't care what other people do, but I really do look at it as an exit. So just stay away from it. It's my crapper. I mean, there's no reason for anybody to be in there. So the next story comes as courtesy of another person in Philadelphia. Here we go. And this is a shoplifting story, John.
So, oh, Philly. There you go.
Get ready for it. A woman named, I'm going to figure this one out, Aishana Clayton.
Nah, let's not prejudge.
Hello there. Was busted at a Pathmark in suburban Philadelphia. A security guard grabbed her because she was shoplifting. And as she ran away, he grabbed her shirt.
Nice.
And the shirt came off, but she continued to run. And this is what he said. Her breasts were swinging as she ran to the car.
Right.
And she remains at large.
Oh, so he basically just stripped her. And what was her name again there, Judo Larium?
Aishana Clayton.
See, I'm thinking that might be Japanese. What do you think?
If by Japanese you mean African American.
All right. What else we got?
Okay. We've got a couple of good ones here. I had one from Canada, but I know how much that drives
Canada.
You crazy. So we'll keep the sex theme going. We're going out to Hawaii now. This is pretty good. A 64-year-old Hawaiian lawyer was found guilty of licking his 21-year-old former client's back ear. This really is Book'em, Dano. The federal judge of this case, Frank Rothschild, fined attorney Lawrence McCreary $250 and told him, these are the actions of a dirty old man. But of course, he's 64 years old, so that's redundant.
So wait, he just licked the back of this broad's ear?
Yeah, this is his client. He just started licking her ear in the courtroom. And the judge just went like, what are you doing?
He's hardcore. He's hardcore. He's hardcore. He's hardcore. All right. What was his name again?
This is Lawrence McCreary.
Lawrence McCreary, we salute you with the White Riot Show salute.
Good for you, boy. I like that. Keeping up with this theme, we have now, and this is great, I love this. A buck-naked driver caused a commotion when he smashed his pickup truck through the front entrance door of Southwest Center Mall in Dallas. He emerged from the wreck, he was completely naked, walked over to the Champs Sports Outlet, and started putting on clothes and tried to get out with clothes until the cops tackled him.
Wait, you mean he just went in, changed clothes in the store, and
no,
tried to walk out?
No, he had no clothes on in the first place.
He was
buck naked, and he crashed into the mall. He walked over to the Champs Sports Store, started putting stuff on. When he left it, the cops like grabbed him and had to tackle him.
That sounds like something that would be in Curb Your Enthusiasm, like a plot line. Like he just walks in naked, puts on clothes, and figures, well, nobody's going to want him back.
It sounds like something you and I did in college. And he just walked into the Champs Sports Store. It's like the stupidest thing.
Unbelievable. Wait, so actually that's not bad.
They didn't give his name, so don't ask.
I'm not going to ask his name. Sorry. No, but that's interesting. Where else? What have you done naked that's been embarrassing to you, Judo Larium? Can you think of anything?
Well, I know what I did last week in Vegas. But
oh, but that wasn't embarrassing.
I actually can't think of anything that I've done naked that's truly embarrassing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I can think of something perverted, but I wasn't embarrassed by it. So that
you were
qualify.
Proud of that one.
Yes, I am.
All right, so you really don't have any, like...
I'm trying to think. Do I have any naked stories?
No, but, I mean, you're a man of discipline from the Far East. I understand that. So maybe you weren't crazy enough to go streaking or anything?
Well, even
any
even,
dick
even,
swaying in the wind stories? Nothing
even,
like that?
Even disciplined people get naked. So, I'm trying to think of something that might qualify. I don't want to make up some bullshit, so... No, I can't think of any really awful naked stories. I can think of...
What about involving other people?
Yes. I can think of a time that I walked in on a lady in the bathroom. I didn't know she was in there.
Taking a shit?
No, this was a friend. It's a big house out in Long Island.
Right,
in the Hamptons.
Right.
And this is actually goes back to like high school.
Right.
And his family at the big house, and they invited me and like 20 other, there was like a million people.
Right.
And it's like this whole weekend thing. And I walked into a bathroom, and there was some like woman, this girl, like 18 years old, whatever. I was like 17.
Juicy.
So.
Wait, let me unzip my pants so I could jack. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Jack off, and remember that she had a picture of like a hammer and sickle above her coin slot. So she was like a left-wing loser.
Oh, really? So she was just what?
But
just
she was changing.
Oh,
and
changing.
And I didn't know that she was in there. So I walked in, and she's just like completely naked. But it was weird because I stood there for a couple of seconds just looking, and she still didn't notice I was there. And then I was able just to turn around, walk out, like close the door, and she never noticed I was there. But I got a good look at her.
Oh, really? You never knew?
She never knew. She just...
At 17, I'm surprised your dick wasn't instantly hard and you tried to ramrod her like shark her from behind, like dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Ooh, sorry, honey. You know, it's like...
I would have been better off just going... Oh, I'm so sorry. And like, let me help you. Let me get a towel and hand her a tissue. Like, something clever. I stood there. I was just kind of looking at that. It's like, well, maybe I should leave.
Yeah,
and,
right.
But she
right,
never
right.
saw me. So I was like, oh, all right.
Well, that's not too bad a story.
No, that's it. How about you? You have any naked stories?
Not me personally, much like yourself. Like, the only naked story I have once is I was I was dating this chick and I went back to her place. And, you know, we were getting down, so we're all over the apartment, you know, just, you know, falking and sulking and all that wonderful stuff.
The proper terminology is fornicating. Please.
There you go. And in the middle of it all, like, you know, the door to the apartment swings open, and this other chick just walks in. It was her roommate.
Oh.
Yeah. It wasn't her roommate. I'm sorry. It was her sister-in-law. Who just had a key to the place somehow. I still haven't figured that part out.
Okay.
But she just came in, and, you know, here we are, like, literally in the, like, cowgirl position, and just got walked in on, and then the chick didn't want to leave, though.
So
she just stayed, and she goes, oh, well,
did you say, like,
she literally was
trying in on this?
Oh, well, you know, I almost did, and then the chick was just like, get out. But basically, the other one just sat down and said, oh, don't mind me, keep going. Yeah, it was like really weird. And at the time, you know, I have to admit, I wasn't as suave as you may have been or someone else. I just stood there and my mind was just going, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't instantly switch to that threesome mode that I guess I'm not adventurous or experienced enough or whatever at that point in my life. And it was just sort of like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not going to lie, I still kept the rod going, you know, and everything like that. Because, like, literally, you were in the middle of fucking and you were just like, what the fuck? And she literally sat on the chair next to the sofa to see what was going on. And she just sat there and said, no, go ahead, don't mind me. And then the chick just turned around and just said, get the fuck out, or something to that effect. And the chick just went into another room or something. But it was just like really weird. That's my weirdest buck naked story. That and this really obese fat fuck that we know when we went on a road trip when we were in college.
Yeah, I got Pete.
Sorry. Well, it's okay. You didn't give his last name. That's okay.
My Harman.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. You want to tell the folks so I don't dominate?
Lord. Yes. When we went out to Chicago, we used to do – obviously, this is in the 80s. I got the idea for road trips from watching Animal House. So I used to organize trips. The road trips.
Yeah.
One of our friends, I just gave his name, won't do it again.
His first name, but that's okay. Go ahead.
And he came with us, and he was a very obese fellow. And while we were out there, he got particularly drunk. I mean, we were drunk, but he was – sloppy.
Needless to say, on the White Riot show, the guy was Irish.
Yeah. Nice. So, anyway, he wound up at one point. If you've ever seen a projectile vomit, he hit the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, granted, we were in a hotel room and the ceilings weren't tremendously high, but it was enough that it was disgusting. And then later on, we were running up and down the halls, and just to see his fat, naked body.
So he decided to streak, is what you're saying.
Yes. Well, I don't think he knew what he was doing, but okay, fine. He decided. He actually made a conscious decision to streak. So he's running down the hall. Now, look, normally, you know, you don't want to look at another guy's cock, but you couldn't help it. But he was so heavy, you almost couldn't see it. It was almost like an inverted turtle.
So you're saying his bunt was hanging over his cock?
I'm saying he was so fat, I couldn't see it. Yes, so
it's
very good.
It's not that he couldn't see his cock. You couldn't see his cock.
Well, he can't tie his own shoes. So I mean,
that's a fucking micropeenie right there.
Yeah, so and just awful, just watching this naked body run down the hall. But the only thing I could think of is, if somebody sees it, we're going to get thrown. Or not see it without the use of a microscope.
What was the famous line? When we were telling this story to our friends after we got back, someone asked me and goes, well, how small is so-and-so's cock? Like, really, how small is it? And I think I gave the description, and I remember you fell off your chair laughing. I said, well, picture two dimes and a nickel. And you said, on their side? And I said, no, flat. And that's what his junk looked like.
Yeah, it was.
It was almost like it was painted on. That's how flat it was. Horribly.
Yeah. It was like when you really like winnow a pencil down to like just the stub and like the eraser, and there were like two raisins hanging out with it. Like, hey, what's this pencil doing? It was fucking just disgusting.
Isn't it great how guys revel in the misfortune of other men when it comes to their junk? like none of us sat back and said, oh, the poor guy has no junk. How's he going to get laid? And instantly it was just
exactly.
Like, pointed to it and laughed.
Yeah, it was like, ah. Like, all I can think about is I'm happy that I got a nice cock.
It's like nobody would ever have even cause to go on that cock. Like, it couldn't choke a child. It was unbelievable. It's a good thing we didn't identify this guy because we really laid into him a little bit. But, yeah, definitely. That might be my funniest buck-naked story, even though it had nothing to do with me personally being buck-naked.
Yeah.
But that might be the funniest one.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have too many throw-up stories and like other things, but not a lot of.
Well, let's be honest. We have too many Irish friends from our past, because the other streaking story we have is the other huge Irish guy we had who at Fordham University, and this time we won't mention his name at all, first or last, got loaded, as Irishmen tend to do, Judo Larry M., and decided to streak through campus.
Cackling like an idiot.
And he had just gotten done studying Nietzsche for his philosophy class, and he was cackling through the university, running buck naked, screaming that he was the Uberman.
The Uberman. You have to love a person. We were in the at our university, they had this lower level basement where people used to go drink and party. And there's like 200 people in this place. And he ran up, they had like a little mini stage for a band. And they never had a band.
Right.
They had like the microphones, everything set up just in case they actually get a band. And he ran up to the stage. Now, you have to realize, he was in the Russian studies program with me.
Right,
happened is, because he had to read all these stupid books on Marx and Engels, drove me out of my mind. I'd rather read Mein Kampf, to be honest. So he gets up there and he grabs the microphone.
Yeah.
And like very quickly, like a lot of people saw him only because he's so big. And then he went, I must teach you the word.
Right.
The imperialists are impressing you, and like the capitalists. Like, he went off for like 10 minutes, and people were just looking at him.
The important part is he did this naked.
Oh, yeah. Well, drunk and naked just works. Naturally, people are looking at him. He's yelling out all this commie crap. The only thing which is great, he didn't believe in any of it. He just thought it was hilarious. Dialectic materialism and the five-year plan and like all this shit. I was like, oh, get away from me. This is hilarious.
Let me just expand on that a little bit. I mean, we joke about it, and people say, where do you come off and how do you know socialism is bad and communism? The truth of the matter is, you're actually a learned man when it comes to this thing. You took Russian studies. You spoke the language. I think you still do to some extent.
A little bit.
You spent a lot of your elective courses studying the philosophies of various, you said, Marx, Engels.
Dostoevsky was thrown in for
everything.
I mean, that's not really political so much, but you had to read that.
Well, it was political philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Marx and the Engels was really the crucial part of it, but We had to study their Soviet foreign policy.
Right, right.
Yet we had to study the history. I mean, at one point, I don't remember it right now, but I had to read books on friggin' Brezhnev and his and what his father did and his mother and how it formed his thinking. And I was like, he's a fucking asshole. Like, I don't care what he thinks. Look at those eyebrows. I'll kill him if I see him.
Him and his fucking shoe. Go fuck yourself. That was Khrushchev with the shoe, right?
No, Khrushchev with the shoe at the UN. Brezhnev had more class. Jesus Christ.
Fucking commies.
Yeah. But of course, I always tell people that this is why I read the New York Post,
right,
not the New York Times. Here's the reason. After Brezhnev, who ran the Soviet Union for about 17 years, after he died,
right,
if you remember very briefly in the early 80s during the Reagan years, I love this. The Soviets had about three leaders in a row that just, for one reason, they were just guys from the Politburo,
right,
who it was just their turn. So they put them in, like, one of them was Andrenko or Anchenko or whatever, Andropov or something. And it was just so funny. Oh, yeah, I think it was Yuri Andropov.
Yeah, right.
And he was put at the head of the Politburo, and you saw him at one of the parades waving from that stupid wall.
Right.
And the tanks are going by. And then, like, 2 months later, he disappeared.
Just
gone. If you remember, he was gone. And the Soviets said, he's like working in secret and for the glory of the working class in the state and blah, blah, blah. Then after 6 months went by, they went, well, actually, he's a little fatigued. Like, they put some stupid thing like that out.
Right.
Then after like 7 months, he was dead.
Right, right.
So, and what I love is the New York Post put a picture of him on the front, like, where he looked like he just farted. Like, he had this look on his face, and in big red letters, it said, head red dead.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was one of the best ever. That's almost as good as headless body found in topless bar. Or that other one, fire in Brooklyn kills 12, .. but cat survives. Fucking New York Post. The best paper ever, as far as I'm concerned.
And the best sports page. But I have to tell you, and then, of course, I also give a shout out to the World Weekly, one of those supermarket things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was just shopping one time, and they're always right there when you check out.
Sure, of course. They're an impulse buy.
You see this huge computer.
Right.
With these two old, like, granny legs sticking out with, like, the nets and
whatever,
and her shoes, and it says, big legs, it says, computer eats grandmother. And it says, this story is true, don't deny it, like, oh, God. But it's hard to top head red dead.
No, that's one of the best ever. As a matter of fact, I would have that framed if I could get the original paper.
Oh, you can get it.
Yeah.
You can actually call them, and for like $2.50, they'll send you a back copy. That's how proud they
are. Fine, I want you to get me that for my birthday. Then.
No, I did, because I had lost my original copy back when of Messier saying, we will win tonight.
Yeah.
So after they won the cup, and I called them, and I mean, for like a couple of bucks, they sent me another copy of it.
Oh, excellent.
So, you can definitely get it. But Head Red, that's just killed me.
That's always the best.
That's just awesome.
All right. What else we got in terms of news, Judo Larry?
Okay. We're going to go from sex to something similar called sports. Here we go. Now, this is what I call extreme sports. I happen to like this. This guy out in California, he considers himself kind of a Spider-Man of sorts.
Okay.
His name is Elia Maida of Chico.
Of what?
Of Chico. That's the name of the town.
Chico? Is that racist?
No, it's the name of a town.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're showing me on your papers.
It turned out that he had, like, some webs in his backyard, like spider webs.
Cobwebs, okay. Yeah.
So he set fire to them with a blowtorch. And the resulting blaze destroyed part of his home, and it cost him $25,000 to fix it.
No. And where'd you say he was from?
This is from Chico, California.
Oh, I would have thought it was from Warsaw.
Now, Elia, whatever the hell your name is, I don't know if you're in the country legally, but you don't need to use a blowtorch to get rid of some spider webs. What kind of mentality is that? I mean,
he's a fucking idiot is what it comes down to. I mean, you don't have to ask the question what kind of mentality that is. He's a fucking idiot.
At first, I was laughing at it because I just saw the blowtorch.
Right.
And I just thought, I was like, a blowtorch to get rid of, like, I said, well, what are they, like the size of those nets they drop on people to catch? Like, then when I heard that it cost them $25,000, I was like, ha, look, good. You're an idiot. I'm keeping with the sports theme.
Okay. And I thought you were going to say keeping with the idiot theme.
Well, this it goes with it because it's a road rage story.
Fair enough.
Okay, we're going to go back to Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly's the target of your thing
well,
this week.
This is all true because I found them on the internet.
It's on the internet, right?
Kenneth Butterworth of Philadelphia.
Is his mother the one that's involved with the syrup?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think she's got some promise margin in her ass. Kenneth Butterworth of Philadelphia was so upset by a driver that cut him off on the road. He allegedly sped up, he caught up to the guy, and he pointed out the window a medieval crossbow. But he didn't shoot it off. And then they just started cursing at each other and blah, blah, blah. And then the other guy reported him and the police tried to find him, but they couldn't. But he had a medieval crossbow. I was like, who fights with that?
I was going to say, you keep a crossbow in your fucking car?
And
I don't know if you realize how those things work. It takes like 20 minutes to load one up.
To load one up. Plus, you're from Philadelphia, you pussy. Act like a flyer and just get out and kick his ass.
Who said that the Philadelphia Flyers could steal Taz's colors?
Hug you.
Now, anyone who knows that, if anyone knows where that's from and what that alludes to, go to WhiteRiotShow.com. Use the call the show feature, because now you could call the White Riot Show and leave your comments, voice comments, on our website, and we'll play them on the show. If you know what that was in reference to, let's repeat it. Judo Lariam, why don't you replay that famous line?
Who gave the Philadelphia Flyers permission to wear Taz's colors?
Now, if you could tell me who said that and what the context was, call in the White Riot Show. Go to WhiteRiotShow.com. There's going to be a button there that says SpeakPipe. Talk to us. Call the White Riot Show. Go to the website. Or you could go to Facebook. We have it up on Facebook, too. Facebook.com/White Riot Show. All you need is a speaker for your computer, and it'll be like calling us. So call us up. Let us know what it is, and be famous on the White Riot Show, which is, of course, blowing up. Once again, Judo Lariam, we're blowing up on iTunes. Go to iTunes, search for White Riot Show. Go to Stitcher Radio, Stitcher.com, and search for White Riot Show. Blowing it up all over the place, and we're getting famous on Twitter, I hear. So go ahead and give us a call. Let us know what that was in reference to. We'll let you know what it was next week. All right, what else we got, Judo Lariam?
Okay, now we're going to go out to Illinois. It kind of ties into a story we talked about 2 weeks ago about people not using police lines properly, like 911 and whatever.
Right, right.
So Shannon White out in Illinois, that's Belleville, Illinois, apparently she must have been in a bar, and I guess her boyfriend's the bartender, and he stopped serving her, and he refused to give her any more beer.
So wait. The bartender, who was also the guy she's fucking, refused to serve her any more alcohol.
And any more alcohol. So she called 911 six times.
To do what?
To complain that he wasn't giving her any beer.
What a fucking lush. I think you have to reevaluate your relationship if you're the bartender at that point.
I think you have to fuck the shit out of her. Well, oh, she's really? This drunk.
But you like crazy fucks, right? If I recall some of your dating history, Judo Lariam, you like these crazy-ass women, right? That they're out of their mind?
Unfortunately, I have a way of attracting women. I don't do it deliberately.
But I don't see you pushing them away with your judo-like skills. Like, I don't see any ukinami ryos taking place for you to escape them or anything.
Well, I push them with my penis.
In the vagina.
And, yes. And she was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and misusing the 911 line.
Cunt.
that's pretty good. But, I mean, I just thought that was so stupid. I mean, that's like on the same level the blowtorch.
I called 911 because my boyfriend refuses to serve me a drink. What a fucking bitch. I hope they arrested her or fined her or something.
Yeah, no, I said she was charged
you did.
With...
I'm sorry, it's not like I listened to you during this show.
Oh, okay. Well, get your finger out of my ass, you fuck. But, no, she was charged with disorderly conduct and misusing the 911 line, which is the same as that thing from 2 weeks ago.
Is that punishable by death, I hope?
No, your punishment is you have to go back to the bar.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, so now we have another semi... these stories are all, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we have a man, they didn't give his name, a man down in Gainesville, Florida, allegedly went postal when his girlfriend busted his bong. So he's another pothead.
Oh, okay.
You know, so he went nuts because apparently she busted the bong and he went so nuts, he pulled a gun out on her and started sticking it in her face and like screaming, yelling, I'm going to kill you, all because she broke his bong.
And now, Judo Larry, as you know, I am not steeped in the drug culture at all.
Yes.
So correct me if I'm wrong here. This bong would be used to consume marijuana?
It would be used to give you a blumpkin because you're so nerdy.
I am.
Okay. Yes, you
yeah, no, seriously, I'm serious. Yes, yeah, I'm overplaying
it. You put the weed
bit,
down in the body, yeah. You smoke it at the top, it makes you open your mouth enough for
To take a hit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and she broke his bong, but he responded to this by pulling a gun on.
Now, what happened to the oft stated thing from advocates of marijuana being legalized, that it really isn't a gateway drug, it makes you mellow? And like, that's what I've heard, that it makes you mellower than alcohol.
Well,
and
it does. Well, remember though, he wasn't high at the time. She just broke his bong.
Okay.
They were just sitting around the house and she broke his bong, but maybe even by accident, but he freaked out and pointed a gun at her.
So he threatened to kill her over the fact that he couldn't get mellow.
Yes, he was planning on getting high, and now his bong is gone.
Somehow I just picture somebody who's like Tommy Chong getting up and saying, hey, bitch, I'm going to fucking kill you for breaking my bong, man.
I got to tell you, I will put myself out there. Look, back when I was in high school, we used to party crazy, and beer and pot was pretty much the norm because this is the 70s.
Right.
So you're not allowed to hold this against me. but I have to tell you, as far as being a gateway drug, I don't know if I'd buy that because, you know, when I was in high school, we smoked a lot of pot and we drank beer. And by the time I got to college, I had stopped.
Right. You were fairly straight in college, I remember.
Well, but no, drinking actually went up.
No,
but
I mean
that's
in terms of the drug use.
Oh yeah. Look, in fact, while we were in college, I only smoked pot once, and that was on that same Chicago trip,
right, exactly.
With the aforementioned Uberman in the hallway of the hotel we were staying
at. I remember.
That's it. Right. I mean, other than that, but if you had seen how much, to be honest, how much pot I had smoked in high school, you wouldn't have thought that. Now, but again, if it was a gateway drug, then wouldn't I have moved on to coke and whatever else? Because the insinuation from gateway is that you're going to move on to other things. I actually went in the other direction. I stopped pretty much cold. I got the one time in college, not since then, but... You know, but then on the other hand, the beer drinking went up. But that's very socially acceptable, which makes no sense whatsoever. Because, oh, come on. How many times have how many sporting events have I been to drunk, starting fights, cursing loud, stupid? How about drunk drivers?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, you don't hear these things from people who smoke pot.
Well, look.
Because the truth is, pot just mellows you out. It makes you hungry. It makes you a little paranoid.
Right.
It has its effects. But, you know, I mean, compared to drinking, I mean,
well, I'm thoroughly
convinced. I've been also to a million concerts.
Yeah,
let me make
one
more point.
Yeah, sure.
That's another thing. I've been to a million concerts.
Right.
And I got to tell you, trouble from these people? Nope. I mean, almost never. It's always drunks. It makes people sloppy. It makes them act. They think they can do things better. They think they can drive better. They start fights. They get angry for no apparent reason. They throw up all over the place. Pot, look, I'm sure it's destroying brain cells. It hurts your lungs. I'm sure it's got its negatives. But in terms of behavior, I'd rather be around somebody who's high than somebody who's really drunk all the time.
Oh, sure.
Any day of the week.
Well, I'm convinced if it wasn't for the social, history of,
the stigma
of drinking.
Of it, yeah.
No, I mean of drinking, that it's steeped in everything. Like, I mean, you read about consuming wine in the Bible if you're a Christian. If you're steeped.
Yeah, but not getting smashed.
No, but I mean in terms of like trying to ban it or something like that, right? It's, you know.
Prohibition failed miserably.
No, I understood.
And it gave the seed money for criminals.
But I'm wondering if alcohol were introduced for the first time now, and I know, I mean, this is theoretical, but I'm saying picture a world without alcohol, Judo Larry M., and then someone all of a sudden introduces alcohol. Like the way crystal meth got introduced or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think probably it would be considered illegal and there would be an alcohol war. There'd be an alcohol czar, much the same way we have a drug czar or something like that.
As a matter of fact,
if it was new, you know, if alcohol somehow managed to just appear today.
Yes, if that was the new thing. Oh, absolutely. It would be illegal and there would be like a whole fuss over it.
Right.
And of course, the problem with that, when you make something illegal, you make it attractive, especially to young people.
To a large segment of the population.
Especially to young people.
Sure.
Because part of the reasons they do have, even just smoking cigarettes,
right,
their parents tell them not to do it. The teachers tell them not to do it. Cops tell them not to do it.
Right.
Everybody's telling them it's bad for you. That. So what's the cool thing to do? To do it.
Well, I don't see that happening when their hippie fuck parents tell them to not to vote Republican. They don't go out and do that.
Well, that's not drug use. That's just stupid. I mean, it's unless you want to make the argument that because of the drugs they took back in the 60s, fucked up their thinking.
Yeah, that too.
Okay. But, you know, you know what the problem with all this is? Look, I'm a person who's for legalizing all drugs.
Yes, I know you've held that position.
Well, same position as William Buckley. I think that, look, at this point, what is the point? There was a commission on drug use around the world. George Shultz was on it,
right,
who was Reagan's former Secretary of State. Right. And this was about a year ago that they released a report. And you know what it really came down to? I can make it easy. Don't even bother going to find it or read it. It came down to this. If there is a war on drugs, we're getting our ass kicked. We're right. smuggling it in. It's way too easy. You can even get this stuff in jail.
Right.
Hasn't anybody ever... What does that tell you when you hear about people who are locked up in jail? This should be the hardest place to do anything.
Right, right, right.
They get drugs, whatever they need. They get shanks, guns, whatever they need. Right. This is insane. So, look, and now you hear about all these drug cartels in Mexico. Where do you think they're getting all their money? Well, from drugs. And, well, you know what? They're allowing them to build these huge empires just based on drugs. You might as well just legalize it, relegate it to some part of the city where you can buy it or something, tax it. You'll probably pay off our national debt.
All joking aside, I have come more and more to the libertarian point of view, and honestly, that's not the part that I worry about. The part that I worry about, to a large extent, is the situation you have in Mexico,
which is what
the drug cartels running the country, basically.
Yeah, but that's because the government is very weak and very corrupt, and officials are corrupt, and because of the
and
money
ours
they...
ours isn't?
No, not like this. Not like this. We have corruption, but not like this, and not to the point where we're going to fall apart like that. That's extreme. But these countries, let me tell you, Mexico, Colombia, their governments are so tenuous with their power and their position. Look, but you have to remember something. Look, but that's because drugs are illegal. And they're making money, and you're letting criminals make all this money. If you legalize it, they go out of business. Now you're just turning into a normal business somewhere, and you could tax it, and you could even keep the stuff clean or something. You could check how it's monitored, how it's processed, all that. Plus, look, and the reason I mentioned what I said before about like being in high school, kids take drugs because they think it's cool.
Right. That's,
not all. Some just want to party, whatever. A lot of them get into it just because it's cool or because their friends are doing it. Let me tell you something. The moment it becomes legal, it becomes extremely uncool. I tell you right now. Part of the attraction of it is because it's dangerous.
It's forbidden.
It's the forbidden fruit.
Absolutely.
The moment you take that away, you're going to see a drop in that. Okay? I can tell you right now because a lot of them are just doing it just to piss off their parents. It's cool with
right,
my friends.
Right.
Oh, we bought it from some slimy guy like someone. The moment
bought
you
bought it from a Negro.
It's good shit, man. I have from a Negro. Thank you, Spalding. But
Spalding.
The moment you take that element away from it, I can tell you right now, it loses its attraction for a lot of kids.
Yeah, for a lot of kids it will. Absolutely right. But see, I don't know if I buy the – and I don't want to drag this out, but
okay.
I don't know if I buy the argument necessarily that if you make it legal, all of a sudden the influence of organized crime or cartels disappears. I don't know if I'm willing to trust
yet. But you're making it a legitimate business. There's no need for them anymore.
No, but I mean, there's a legitimate business. There's other legitimate businesses that are provided more.
If you're worried about the effects of drugs on people, then you have to go back to illegalizing liquor.
I'm not worried about the effect on people.
Okay.
I've now come to that conclusion. If people are stupid enough to smoke cigarettes, if they're stupid enough to drink
and shoot up heroin, let them go ahead and fucking do it.
I mean, at this point. You can't make the argument that we're ignorant to the effects of these things. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, like, I know there's some people out there who think marijuana is a wonder drug or whatever. It expands your horizons, or if you're an artist, it makes you more creative. I don't know if I believe any of that shit, but we certainly know what the downsides are. You know, like you said, you're still inhaling smoke. You're still, like, introducing disease into your lungs. You're still running the risk of cancer and emphysema and all that shit.
Yeah,
and we know that. So if you're still willing to do that after all that, go the fuck right ahead as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know.
I also think you know, like programs to get you like straight and everything. Like, you know, you might have to lose your money on that. Like, you have to make it a situation where, look, if you're really stupid enough to do these things, you're on your own.
I agree with you. And look.
And if you do something stupid in society, well, you're still going to get arrested like anybody else. If you know. Yeah.
But you know me,
cartels, no, they'll go out.
See, that's what I don't know because
there's no need for them.
Well, there's no need for them if you assume that the status quo stays the same. But you know how drug users are. You know how drug addicts are. And again, not giving a shit about their behavior. I'm not worried about them being addicted. What I'm worried about is that there will always be a niche for drug cartels to fill.
Yeah, but arguably a very small one, because if you look at the historical parallel with, let's say, Prohibition.
Right.
Capone and the mob of these guys, they made all their money initially on Prohibition, liquor, and they were smuggling things in from Tennessee and from Canada.
Right.
As soon as they became legal, they lost that. They didn't stay with liquor after that, but unfortunately, they got so much money from that, they moved into everything else. They moved into gambling, prostitution.
No, I understand that, but the argument with liquor is, if I can draw a slight difference, is you're not – the ways to improve on the basic product there are limited, right? So, in other words, you're not improving on alcohol to the extent that there's a market for a cartel that will break the boundaries. With drugs, because everything is originating chemically, right?
Yeah, you
could always create the next thing. Like, you could I think I read something on the news once that it's this Russian sort of psychedelic drug now that you smoke it or shoot it, and it gives you green scales. You turn out looking like a fucking lizard. And now there's people taking this shit, and their skin gets all dry and cracked and green. So they're calling it, like, the lizard drug or some shit.
Oh,
but what I'm trying to get at is, no matter what, see, drugs are different in the illegal drugs or legal drugs, whatever you would call in this scenario.
New drugs.
It's a panacea because now there's no limit. See, alcohol, basically, look, what's the purest thing you could reach alcohol? No one could surpass it. 100% alcohol.
100%.
That's it. Once you get to grain alcohol, you're done.
Yeah.
You can't improve on the product.
Those things, even if they come up with new stuff, as long as it's still legal, there's really no market because some business will sell it.
I don't disagree with you in theory. I'm just wondering if that's the case or not.
Well, I think that the cartel, I think in the mob, any the Chinese triads, all the ones that the Jamaican posses, all these people who profit, I think they go out of business the moment they become legal. Or it becomes such a small amount of money at that point, it's probably not even worth it to stay in it. But you have to remember, when you keep it illegal, you're also talking about people smuggling. Like, I always tell people, and I said this on the show before, and I tell everyone, my favorite show is Locked Up Abroad on the National Geographic Channel.
Yep.
And this show is all about stupid drug smugglers.
Right.
And what you have are these people willing to risk getting caught just to get a couple of $1,000s to smuggle drugs. And also, when you see how successful a lot of them are getting through, plus there's, as you said, there's all the corruption that comes from people taking drugs. You can pay off cops, you can pay off judges, you can pay off border guards. And then the cost of prosecuting these people and incarcerating these people. Once you legalize it, all that crap goes away.
Right.
Even the use of all those tunnels that are under the U.S.-Mexican border disappear. I mean, you know, you have to realize that the drug business costs this country so much, you might as well just say, look, fuck it. These people are stupid.
Right.
Let them drink. Let them smoke.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Let them gamble. Let them have – you want to go have a prostitute? Go to a fucking prostitute. These things have to – you have to stop focusing on vices.
And I have to tell you, you know me. I'm pretty much straight edge. You know,
No,
but I mean, I'm straight edge when it comes to drug use. You know that. You've never seen me smoke. I've never taken an illegal drug in my life. The worst vice
I
can pop.
I've seen you take those fart pills where you get the charcoal pills. I think that qualifies, sir.
But you know, like basically.
No, you don't take drugs.
The harshest I've ever done would be alcohol.
You've drank a few beers.
That's it.
No,
but even in my position, what I'm trying to say is I've evolved, as President Obama would say, to say that I don't give a fuck. You know, if someone wants to smoke or drink or whatever, let them do it. I really don't give a fuck.
I understand completely.
Right.
I had the same position that you did.
Yes.
It's just that I changed my mind about 10 years ago.
No.
I used to be absolutely not. This is terrible. It's a blight on society. And then you realize one day people are going to take drugs.
Right.
They're going to gamble. They're going to go to hookers.
It's that old joke. They want to get high, basically. They want to get laid.
I'm not even going to give you the argument like marijuana is good for people who have glaucoma.
No, fuck that.
I mean, look, good. You know what? I hope it helps them. But you know what? Most people just want to get high. So let them get high.
I have no problem with that.
But I think there could be a drop-off in drug use if it becomes illegal. The only difference with this country would be because we have such a huge drug culture.
Right.
You know, but there are examples. Switzerland legalized, I forgot what it was, heroin, something like back, and they had a 50% drop after they legalized it. And Portugal, too, had a 25% like drop in drugs when they legalized a lot. What happens is, you know, it loses its coolness. It loses a lot of its attraction. And, you know, and then, and you know, I was basing part of my comments on that. And the drug deals, you know, they just kind of go away because you don't need – now it's a legitimate business. You can buy, like, gum or something. And you just don't need these assholes anymore. And then the police don't have to chase them. You don't have to spend all the time and money on it.
I don't disagree. But wasn't it Amsterdam – in Amsterdam, they had to roll back a lot of the leniency on drugs. Well, I think what was the situation there?
They went so extreme to the other direction. Okay. I'm not advocating that. I think it needs controls, and you need a. I mean, in Amsterdam, you can just do like almost anything. But then they changed it. Like you can't smoke in the streets, but you can smoke in their bars. Like, you know, they started doing.
So they wanted out of sight, basically.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. But that's still a better way to do it. And besides, one last point. Remember. If there's a war on drugs, and the commission said this, if there's a war on drugs,
we're losing.
We're getting killed. No, not losing. We're getting killed. It's not even a contest. I mean, I think they said something like you're stopping like maybe 10 or 20% of the stuff that gets smuggled. That means the rest of it's getting in. Why waste the time and the effort? People, unfortunately, like anything else, it's supply and demand. And there's always going to be a demand because there are always going to be people who are going to take drugs. So you might as well have it legal, make money on it, put criminals out of business. Stop wasting time. Incarceration is for violent people. It's for murderers and rapists. It's not for people who smoke joints. That's stupid.
And for Democrats. I would throw those in there, too.
Yeah, well, they're fixed.
Well, you know, let's talk about the story that we saved for last here, Judah Larian.
Oh, okay.
And that would be none other
than my man.
Our man, Fred Willard, caught jacking off in a Jack Palace in California. This might be the awesomest story ever. Why, you may ask?
Because Willard is the name of a rat.
No, it's because Fred Willard is a spry 78 years old.
Don't tell Fred that. Shit.
He was caught jacking in a porn theater. I love this.
That's great. I got a kick out of the time Pee Wee Herman got caught.
Yeah, but Pee Wee Herman's a young guy. It came off as pervy. This is like just depressing and pathetic, and the guy's doing something about it.
You know what's
at 78,
great?
He could get it up in public.
It's different because it's brazen.
I love Fred Willard.
Yeah.
That guy's fucking awesome.
You know what he just realized? He just said, he goes, I feel like jacking off. Yeah. See, this is like my drug theory. People are going to do these things. Just let them fucking do it.
I love it. He jacked off. And here's my point, too. It's not like George Michael, who was caught, like, sucking dick in the park or whatever it was and jacking off in a men's room, public toilet somewhere. This guy jacked off where you're supposed to jack off outside your house.
In a porn theater.
In a porn theater.
I didn't know they had them anymore.
You know, that was another...
Cable stuff and everything. Who even needs to go to a porn?
Well, when you're 78, you're not internet savvy, Judah Larian.
Yeah, I know, but he must know that you can get it on television and you can jack off in the privacy of your own
home. You can do everything. I jack off the porn on my iPhone when I'm on the bowl. It's my form of blumping.
Enough when he fucked up. Willard, you should run for president.
I mean, absolutely.
Because we got a Muslim and a Mormon running. There's no Christians running. I want Fred Willard.
I want someone who knows the value of jacking and has the wherewithal to do it at 78, and he's still jacking. God bless him. I love it.
But that's what I just said. It's so brazen. He was just sitting there going, I feel like jacking off. And you know why I understand this? Because I'm 49 years old now.
Go ahead.
And I'm like now I'll be 50 in 11 months.
Yes,
now.
Sir.
Okay. Once you get to 50, you lose your filter. And you don't care what you say.
Oh, so at 50, you don't give a fuck.
That's right.
That's so, the official I don't give a fuck age.
Yeah, so he's 28 years past that.
He's almost not giving a fuck for two people.
But I think that's his great.
Was that the best thing ever?
Yes,
I saw that come up on my Twitter feed. I couldn't get my phone out fast enough to start Twittering support for Fred Willard
from
the White Riot Show.
Because I try to keep myself informed. I stopped reading an article on what's going on over in Syria to read about Fred Willard popping his cork on
this. Yeah, the story about the president of Syria disappearing for some reason meant nothing in comparison to Mr. Fred Willard jacking it in public in a jack shack in California. We gotta give him a White Riot
show.
He's hardcore. He's jacking.
Jack some more.
Oh! my eye.
He's hanging out with Andropov. The president of Syria is gone. I stopped, I'm kidding. I stopped reading. I saw the, like, the little blurb came up. I was like, oh, let me go read that.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
That is the best.
Is that not the best story? All right.
In fact, Fred, if you're out there, could you tweet us?
Give a shout out to the White Riot Show, Mr. Fred Willard. I already hit you up on Twitter, Fred. We've started the hashtag. He's hardcore. He's hardcore on Twitter for Mr.
He's hardcore, jacking off the more, watching porn. Good for you.
Sound off, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, Mr. Fred Willard. We can't end the show on a better note than that. So let's just say, Mr. Fred Willard, we salute you. Jack, Captain Jack, as it were. Fred Willard, that's excellent. All right, the White Riot Show. Hope you enjoyed the episode this week. We look forward to entertaining you once again, if you could call this nonsense entertainment, next week. Remember, tell your friends about the White Riot Show. Go to WhiteRiotShow.com for all the latest information and episodes, or go to iTunes, subscribe there, search for the White Riot Show. Go to Stitcher.com, search for the White Riot Show. You can check us out there, or go to Twitter, Twitter.com, White Riot Show. It's the same word everywhere. That's proper branding and marketing, folks. Until next week, this is Big Fat John.
And Judah Larian.
On the White Riot Show. Peace.